I'm good. And you can call me Yo Adrian, anything you want this morning, because I'm in a good mood after what the boys did last night on the ice and the series they fought against the Ducks, coming back resilient. And, I mean, that crowd out there, that building, I couldn't believe, and I've been in how many years in this bracket now, the noise that those fans brought forth, and just continually. And you look at our bench, and the guys are looking around, and you could just see the smiles on their faces. And this will carry us. This wave will carry us right through, and it did.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible to see the whole thing develop on that deal. Now, by the way, let's just clear it up. The Adrian reference was, of course, a Rocky reference when Rocky beats Apollo Creed finally. Yo, Adrian, we did it. So good job there by Pete on that analogy. And I got to say, Crispy, too, I opened the show with this. You know, welcome to the bandwagon. I know that there is a certain type of fan who is a hardcore fan that's been there since day one, that was there when the crowds got small, that was there when the team was bad, and their attitude is probably now, look at all these Johnny-come-latelys, get out of here, this is our team, blah, 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 don't jump on the bandwagon now because they're good and because they're going to the second round. And I say just the opposite. This is how you build a legacy in a city with a team. I say hook up extra bandwagons if you need them, load them up. Everybody is welcome. Come on in. We want to have a situation where there's 100,000 people that want to get into the building and only 17,000 can. Agree or disagree?
Totally agree, Tom. This is the time now for everybody to become a hockey fan. I don't care if you've never been to a game before. Now is the time to jump in. Now is to get. This is where you get the feel, the electricity, the whole thing. Our diehard fans deserve this. They know it's for them. But hey, let's bring in some new ones. Let's bring in some fresh bodies, some new bodies. Get them exposed to our game, which we all love, which we know, and which our loyal fans come to all the time. This is the best time to bring in new clients, new customers, new additions to our hockey fans. This is what it's all about. This is the playoffs. This is when you crank it up, when you're in beautiful weather like this and you're still playing hockey. That's the ultimate.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I want to give some love to Lanny McDonald here. A little karma for that crew, because the NHL started running that promo about, you know, miracles can happen or what can happen or something, history is going to happen here, and they keep showing your Calgary Flame team winning a cup. I paused it. My boys and I are all watching the game together, and I paused it, and I said, see that guy in the corner over there on the right? That's Crispy right there when he actually had red hair. And you know, I know you've seen it. They've showed it over and over and over again. So I think by having our color commentator on there sitting down on the ice next to the cup, we got a little karma off of it. We got a little love off of that.
And you know what? I can relate to it, because when you do go through what you said, a little history is going to be made and you're part of it. At the time, it goes by so fast. Everything's sort of a blur, and everybody's happy, you're slapping, you're partying, blah, blah. And when we won it in 74, Fred Sherrill with the Philadelphia Flyers was our coach, and I was a player then. I remember Freddie telling us after we'd won it and we had a few parties, he was sitting and having our last meeting. He said, you know what, fellas? He said, enjoy the moment, but he said, it will not set in what you have done today for 10 years down the road. And I couldn't understand what Freddie was trying to tell us. Because, you know, we just won a cup, blah, blah, blah. But you know what he was telling us was that once you no longer can play for it, once you're out of it, that's when the memories really mean the most to you. And you know what? He was dead on right.
Well, I'll tell you a guy that's making a memory, and this is a story that has either book or some sort of a movie written all around it, is Jordan Tootoo. I mean, what that kid has done in his 15 minutes of ice time per night, and what he has done for his line, and what he has been able to create, is just absolutely amazing. And after what he went through this season, going into the program, the abuse program, the substance abuse program, being able to come out of that thing, the way he has carried himself, the way he has taken care of his business, and the way he is playing on the ice is nothing short of inspirational.
You know what? That's one of the stories within the story. One of the most heartwarming and great ones, because to know Jordan Tootoo is to know that he has come up with some hard knocks. He's had obviously some background, and he just overcome everything. And when he came back from the program, out of the rehab, he's like a brand new person. And you know who I feel best for, besides Jordan himself and his family, is Coach Trotz, because Trotz had faith in him. Trotsky knew he had something here. He knew he had a diamond in the rough. And Trotsky said all along, just a way of how do we get it out of him? How can we as coaches get to this kid? Because they knew he had more than – he had big league skating and a big league shot. And he could do more than just dump the puck in. And suddenly when he came back, it's almost like a light switch went on. He decided, you know what? I can play here. I don't always have to have a shot or drop the gloves or be in the penalty box. And you're right. That whole unit, Spalding, Tutu, and Smithson, I mean, they just come through in that in flying colors out there. And you knew they were going to gear in on Fisher's unit. You knew they were going to take them out of here. And our third and fourth lines, I thought, jumped to the front for us.
No, they did, and I said in the open that this team doesn't have it may not have a first line, because I really don't think they do have a first line, but I do believe they have four second lines, and I think I'd take four second lines over one first line.
Last night I was sitting there watching it, and this just jumped out at me. Remember the goal Sully scored? What a setup by Dumont. There's two of your veterans that didn't have a lot of ice time. They've been sort of on the shelf, brought in, but there's your true pros. I mean, they come down the ice, they had one chance. Dumont made a whale of a play to get around, make the pass to Sully. Sully went in and finished it off, and I'm sitting up beside Pete. I'm just thinking to myself, yeah, thank you. Two solid veterans that have been through the wars give us that kind of a shot in the arm.
Yeah, 6 minutes. You know, they had 6 minutes, and it didn't hurt them to have the kid on the line with them, because I think that just helps him and his game as well down the road. I mean, to be playing with those kind of vets and to see the way those guys take care of themselves and take care of their business. Terry Crisp with us on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline. All right, now look, Crispy, don't give me the coach speak here, all right? There's three possibilities, Red Wings, Vancouver, or Kings, all right? In a perfect world, I know, whichever one, you got to do this, you got to do that. But in a perfect world, which one do you think is the best matchup for this team for round two?
L.A. If I had a pick,
really?
You tell me I got to pick Vancouver, the Red Wings, or L.A., I'm taking L.A.
Really?
I think we match up with them as good as anybody. We played them as good as anybody. I think that if Vancouver does dodge this bullet, and this is what scares me, if they do dodge the bullet against Chicago and make it, then you'll see that a whole different team. Because I can remember in 89 when we dodged the bullet in our seventh game in overtime against Vancouver and dodged that bullet. We just waited through the rest of them. I mean, nobody even challenged us for the next until we got the cup. And that's what Vancouver, if they can do that, it's going to happen to them. Detroit, I think they're just getting healthy. They're nothing but stronger, healthier. They're getting all their good bodies back. They've got rested bodies out there. And to go after them right now, we can play them, and we've proven we can play them tough. But if you said to me, do I have to pick one? And believe me, I know Terry Murray, the head coach of the LA Kings. We are good friends. We played together. But I still feel that if we met them, we could match up with them.
Their size and physicality doesn't bother you?
No, we'll match them. We'll play with them. I mean, to my way of thinking, Anaheim Ducks are as physical as any team in the NHL. They were like either first or second most and penalized and misconduct, et cetera, and so forth. And we stood the gap with them. We went toe-to-toe and head-to-head with them and come out on top.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, now, final note. I was born in Western New York. I grew up in Western New York. I was not a Sabres fan, but I was there for the whole no goal thing, because there was no goal. There was a rule that was clear. If you got your foot in the blue ice, it's no goal. That was no goal. It'll always be no goal. Now, that was in the Stanley Cup final. That determined the Stanley Cup champion. Last night, it wasn't the Stanley Cup final, but it could have been a huge, huge play. To me, it couldn't have been more clear that puck was on its way down already, descending, and regardless of Hornquist had his stick when he reached up for the puck, it seemed like he was waist high by the time he hit that puck. I thought it was clear on the ice level view, not on the overhead. That's deceiving. The ice level view, and you must have been beside yourself, because I didn't hear you for like about 50 seconds, and I figured for sure you must have been wearing that cough button out.
I had the mute button pressed so hard you can't believe it. Because we were replaying it back and forth from the truck. And the truck was giving us this from all angles. And suddenly the one angle you just mentioned was so obvious. The puck was on the downward plate already. When he made contact with it, it was at waist high when he made contact with the puck. Then we saw him going off the bench. And I got to tell you this, Tom, with all of that, every player in the world knows whether he hit it high or hit it legal. And Hornquist, when he slammed that gate, you knew he had hit that puck legal. He knew he had hit it legal. And the video showed that he hit it. But what really ticked me off was this. The referee made the call on the ice, no goal. Boom, right away. Okay, he made it. Now, I'm not sure he saw a good view. It happened so fast, bing, bing. But he was no goal. So now we go to review. And I cannot for the life of me understand how Toronto, the Situation Room, can send back to me and call me an idiot that they say inconclusive. Inconclusive, my foot. Well, I don't know what video they are looking at. And you know what inconclusive tells me? That they're not going to overrule the referee. If the referee had said it was a goal, on the ice at the time.
It would have been a goal.
The video review. Guess what? It would have been a goal. Even when they said it's inconclusive, it's a goal because the referee called it on the ice a goal. To me, that's wrong. Totally wrong.
So if I'm hearing you right, the way you think replay should be used is to disallow a goal if the mistake was made on the ice. If anything, if it's close, the guy on the ice should rule goal. I mean, if it's close, rule goal and let Toronto overrule it and say no goal. Now don't put Toronto in a position to say it was a goal and the referee's call was wrong. The ref, to me, should always err on the side of goal and let them say no, it was a bad goal.
Exactly. If Toronto overruled, they'll come back and say, hey, listen, sorry, what we're telling you, it's not a goal, didn't go over the line, or whatever, and do it. But last night, when he called it, and they come back with that word inconclusive, I looked at Pete, and you know what? My mute button went down again.
All right, well, good thing your finger didn't slip off the mute button, or you'd be doing games. I said you should be doing games on HBO. That would be good now. You had some fun. All right, Crispy, as always, a pleasure. And for the first time in the history of the franchise, they're going to play May hockey. So how about that? That's a good thing. You can't go home yet.
I have no desire to go anywhere. And I was walking out of our building last night and going down to do my spot down in the Fox Sports Tennessee zone. And I have never seen our fans happier dance. And the little kids, I love watching all the little kids leaving our building with their parents now at our games. This tells me we're coming of age.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a generation, and they're getting it done now, and the timing is perfect to make a nice little run here. And by the way, this doesn't have to be all about, hey, they won a series. I mean, it doesn't have to stop here. I mean, there's nothing that says that this team can't get on a run and take this thing to a Stanley Cup final or whatever. I mean, that's what the playoffs are all about. Whatever. You know, there's no guarantees for anybody. So
I can guarantee you, Coach Trotz and his staff and the players will be ramping up, and they're certainly not going to sit on this. Well, we got over the hump. We got the gorilla off our back. We want to. I think you're going to say, no, because you know what they're going to say? They're saying, well, yeah, everybody's going to say, well, we got it done. Now we can relax. No, I can guarantee you that won't be Trotsky's mantra nor his team's mantra.
All right, Coach, I want to call you Coach. All right, Crispy, appreciate it as always. Great job by you, and we'll be watching again coming up sometime this weekend.
Hey, Tom, thank you, buddy. We're talking hockey with you, and we'll see them all at Bridgestone for the second round of playoffs.
There you go. Terry Crisp joining us there on the Grand Avenue Chauffeur Transportation VIP Hotline.